Welcome to Nach Yomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp, and today we will continue our study of the Book of Job, focusing on Chapter 30. In this chapter, Eov contrasts the disheartening present situation with the rosy recollections of his life before calamity struck. In the opening verse, Eov laments that he's been cast down from a prominent position of respectability to become the laughingstock of his community. Vata, sachaku alai tziyirim mimeni liyamim, asher ma'asti avotam lashit im kalbei tzoni. But now they mock me, men younger than I, whose fathers I would have disdained to put with my sheepdogs. Eov is mocked by the dregs of society, by punks who in the past would not have dared to display disrespect. In the words of Shmuel Bet, oh, how the mighty have fallen. Rabbi Moshe Kimchi explains that the fathers were unreliable vagrants who could not be trusted to engage in even menial and simple tasks, like watching over the sheep. In the following verses, Eov describes these vagrants as good for nothing, who refuse to work and have abandoned their offspring, the punks who laugh and mock Eov. Are we to surmise that Eov had aroused the envy and contempt of those on the fringes of his community? Those who shrugged off the mores of civilization and its laws? Ramban cites the ancient Mishlei HaKadmonim, an anthology of wise sayings, that records that when asked to name the hardest trial he endured, Eov said, "It was the Schadenfreude of my enemies." Clearly, Eov was not beloved by everyone in his community. And in this chapter, he does not hide his contempt for these gangs of lowlifes who live as nomadic outlaws on the outskirts and subsist on whatever they can glean or steal. Bnei Naval, gam bnei blishem, nik'u min ha'aretz. Ve'ata neginatam hayiti ve'ilahem lemila. They're sons of scoundrels, along with nameless sons. They were scourged out of the land, and now I have become their song. I am a byword to them. Eov had displayed compassion to orphans and widows reduced to poverty and living on charity, and he adopted their cause to ensure their dignity and well-being. But he spares no revulsion from those who violate social norms, refusing to work for a living though they are able-bodied, and whose illegitimate sons have become street urchins, teasing whoever they view as defenseless and fair game. Tiavuni, rachwaku meni, umipanai lo chaschu rok. They detest me and keep their distance. They do not hesitate to spit in my face. Repulsed by Eov's diseased appearance, from a distance the rascals spit and look for ways to gleefully make Eov trip and fall, laughing sadistically. In the previous chapter, Eov recalled, Ra'uni ne'arim v'nechbau v'yishishim kamu. Amadu, when the lads saw me, they hid themselves, and the aged rose up and stood in respect. But now that he is afflicted and helpless, the street urchins undo all social restraints. Ki yitru piteach v'ya'aneini v'resen mipanai shilechu. Al yamin pirchach yakumu, raglai shilechu. V'yisolu alai orchot edam. Natsu nitivati lehavati. Yo'ilu lo ozer lamo. Now that God has unstrung my bow, and afflicted me. They throw off restraint in my presence. On my right, the young gangs attack. They entangle and trip my feet, staging hideaways to attack me. They break up my paths to make me fall. No one can help him, they say. Think of street gangs that search for a hapless victim, one who can't or won't fight back, and then unleash some primitive violent instinct. And worse yet, others gather round and watch and laugh at their cruel pranks. Keferetz rachav yetayu, tachat shoah hidgalgelu. As through a wide breach they come, in the midst of the ruin they roll themselves upon me. Consider the slapstick comedy of seeing someone slip on a banana peel. Then think of the amusement that some find in watching a dogfight or a boxing match, and the unleashing of wild instincts and foul language in the audience of supposedly civilized people. Iov continues to describe his overturned life, his fall from honor into a living nightmare. In verses 15 and 16, he relates that he feels as if he were pursued by demons and he is losing his mind. Ha-pachalai balahot, tirdof karuach nedivati, uche'av avra yeshuati. Ve'ata alai tishtapech nafshi, yochazuni yimei oni. Terrors overwhelm me. My dignity is driven away by the wind. My safety vanishes like a cloud. And now my life force ebbs away as days of suffering grip me. Sforno explains that Iov is racked by night terrors, feeling the dissipation of all the merits he accumulated by helping others, as indicated in the word nedivati, as he is losing his grip on his sanity. Ibn Ezra suggests that Iov feels his identity and mind are flying away in the wind, and any help or salvation is beyond his grasp, like clouds racing away in the sky. Iov continues to describe the physical agony that robs him of sleep in verse 17. Laila atzamai nikar me'alai, ve'orkai lo yishkavum. Night pierces my bones, my gnawing pains never rest. With no respite, night or day, Iov turns to God as he pours out his frustration in verses 20 and 21. Ashavea elecha, ve'lo ta'aneini. Amadati vatidbonanpi, tehafech le'achzarli, be'otzem yadcha tistameini. I cry out to you, God, but you do not answer. I stand up, but you merely look at me. You turn on me ruthlessly. With your mighty hand, you attack me. Iov finds no escape from his agony except in death, as he says in verses 23 and 24. Ki yadati mavet tishiveni, uveit moed lekol chai, ach lo bi'i yishlach yad, im bifido lahen shua. These are among the most difficult verses in the book of Job. According to Rashi, they imply, I know that you've destined me for death, the inevitable end for any living being, but it would be unseemly to beat a condemned man, torturing him even as he screams for mercy. On the other hand, according to Mitzudat David and Malbim, these verses should be translated as follows. I know that I'm destined for death, like all mortals, confident that in the grave there is no pain or further dread of death, and there I will finally be saved from the agony that is my life. Amos Chacham interprets these verses as, I know that my eventual death is inevitable, and it will end my suffering. I prefer it to come sooner rather than later, but God refuses the prayers of those who wish to die, remaining indifferent to their pain. Getting no response from heaven, Eov reverts to making his case before anyone who would listen, trying to prove that his torment is undeserved. He swears that in the life he led prior to the calamity, he always displayed compassion to the suffering and commiserated with the poor and the oppressed, admitting that he hoped that acts of chesed would secure his future and bring spiritual enlightenment as well. In verses 25 and 26, he attests, Im lo vachiti likshe yom, agma nafshi la'evyon, ki tov kiviti ve'yavora, ve'yachala le'o ve'yavo ofel. Have I not wept for those in trouble? Has not my soul grieved for the poor? Yet when I hoped for good, evil came. When I yearned for light, darkness came. The chapter ends with a poetic lament for his life of hopeless melancholy. Me'ai rutru velo damu, kidmuni yemei oni, kodel hilachti bilo chama, kamti bekahal ashaveya. My innards boil and do not rest. Days of affliction have come upon me. I go about gloomy, darkened, but not by the sun. I stand up in the assembly and cry out for help. He compares his cries to the howls of the jackals, the lonesome hooting of the owls, giving voice to pain and despair. Ori shachar me'alai, ve'atzmi chara menichorev. Vayhi le'evel kinori, ve'ugavi le'kol bochim. I have become a brother of jackals, a companion of owls. My skin grows black and peels, my body burns with fever. My lyre is turned to mourning, and my pipe to the sound of wailing. Thank you for learning with me. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Razel Rochel Bat Arye Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.